In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we ask your Holy Spirit upon us. Help and guide us in your graces. Help us to know you more fully, to surrender to you, and to be satisfied in your great love. Amen. A few years ago, Sister Angela, who was the director of the novices, one of our Chaldean sisters, of those young women who discern to become a nun, they go through her, that she directs them and guides them until they make their final vows. She came to the States, she was from Iraq, and one of the things I was talking to her, I was like, listen, don't be stuck just in your convent, let's go like do something. She was like, I've always wanted to see the Niagara Falls. I was like, do you want to do something in Michigan that isn't a far drive? And she was like, no, I want to see Niagara Falls. And I was like, great, we'll go through Canada. She's like, I'm not a citizen. Great, we'll drive all the way through New York to go show you the Niagara Falls. Now, as Michiganers, us people, for the majority of, maybe just me, but I think the majority of us, have all seen the Niagara Falls. We're like, kind of like, yeah, sure, let's go there again and go to Ripley's Believe It or Not or something, right? But we went through New York because she couldn't go through Canada. And I was just like reminded of how great this place is. It's just unbelievably vast. And she was like in awe. Usually you kind of go look at the Niagara Falls for like, I don't know, 4 minutes and you kind of walk away. And she wanted to stay for like hours and just look at them. Then we went down the stairs and like watched them. She was just like in awe of how great they are. They really are like incredible. And we're just used to it, but really it's an incredible like part of the world around us, the part of creation. Just to the point, I was doing some research because I went down a rabbit hole. Niagara Falls, of all the falls combined, has 700,000 gallons of water fall off of that waterfall every second. Isn't that incredible? Imagine that. Imagine like putting a cup of water under it and drinking it. Like, man, it took me a long time to drink all this water. Now we have that, and picture that in your mind as far as the vastness of the Niagara Falls. But then think of the oceans, right? Salt water that we can't drink, that doesn't satisfy the human heart. There is 350 quintillion gallons of water in the ocean. You know how many zeros that is? That is 350 and then 18 zeros after it. Now, in comparison, as vast as the Niagara Falls are, the vastness of the ocean is like uncomprehendable. A quintillion is not a number that anyone uses in their daily life unless you're a mathematician, and God bless your heart. The reality is there's a lot more like unsatisfying salt water than there is fresh water in the world. So when Jesus says today in the gospel that he is like living water will gush forth from the heart of the Holy Spirit, it's important for us to recognize that the amount and the true vastness of how much God wants to give us and satisfy in our hearts. So we have the idea of water that Christ says in the gospel today, but also the beauty of that Jesus says in the gospel. He says, I am the light of the world. You have these two huge things that Christ says to us, and we get today in the scriptures in the middle of Lent, that like rivers of living water will gush forth from the heart. And you have this idea of the beauty of Niagara Falls and the Holy Spirit that's to be given to us. That it's not just like this cup of water that we give, we open our faucet, and we finish and satisfied. It's like we'll never run out of the grace of God, the Holy Spirit, to satisfy human hearts. As much as we drink from it, there is just plenty and plenty and plenty. We can keep going back to that wellspring of Jesus. But also the light of the world. So these two great things, the beauty of the light of the world for Jesus himself is that what is darkness? It's not just light for its own sake. What is darkness? And for me, when I pray with darkness, it's always an idea of fear. It's an idea of the unknown, of things we can't see, and therefore it causes us burdens, it causes us anxieties, because we just don't know that. So Jesus is coming today in the gospel saying, listen, I will satisfy your heart. I will give you not just a gallon, not just a cup, not just a faucet, 700,000 gallons a second of love, of grace, of mercy, of compassion. That'll satisfy your heart, and you need not ever be afraid of anything, no matter how burdensome life can seem, because I am the light of the world. And then St. Paul writes to us, like, now that we know that, now that we're baptized followers and disciples of Jesus, we know that. We can live in the graces of God and we need not fear. What does St. Paul tell us? Now there has to be a conclusion. It's not just like this thing we live in. Now we live the Christian life. St. Paul says in Romans today, Romans 12, one of those scriptures that should be on our walls and our family rooms and our kitchens. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of our mind. Now, I was praying with that. There's a million things, 100,000 million homilies I can give on this idea. But I want to give just one idea, just one concept for us to follow on. Because you live in a world, all you churchgoers, you're here at Mass on this Sunday in Lent. You trudged through this, you saw that there's going to be snow outside, like, we're still going, right? You are intentional disciples of Jesus. You're here in this church. So the worldliness of, like, the woke agendas that are in this world, probably maybe two of you are buying into it. The rest of us are like, we don't want that. We want Jesus. We want the authentic Jesus. But what is one thing, many things, but one thing specifically, that we could, unbeknownst to ourselves, fall into conforming ourselves to the world and not allowing the transformation of Jesus? Something called utilitarianism. And it's like a offshoot of communism. We don't even know we buy into it, but we buy into it. What does it mean? That our worth is our work. Our worth is what we add to society, what we can do to the world around us. It's like the number one question people ask us. You meet someone new, you're like, hey, whatever, I'm so-and-so. Like one of the first questions, what do you do? I'm an engineer, I own a liquor store, I'm a doctor, I'm a pharmacist, whatever. And it's always this concept, like, what do you do? And that's like our worth, that's like our identity, which is unfortunate, and we are much more conformed to that than we think we are. For example, specific example that might get me crucified, so I'm going to caveat it a lot. A few days ago was International Women's Day. God bless it. I'm nothing against women. Okay, focused. All right, good. And it's a beautiful thing, and it's a great gift. Here's my issue with it. Is every single woman that was glorified, which is fine, right? The first woman in space, the first woman to invent this, the first woman to do that, the first woman to do these things. Really beautiful, beautiful, beautiful things in the world. What wasn't talked about? My grandmother, illiterate, mother of 11, widowed when her youngest kid was 6 months old, who raised her children, who her legacy is laundry and dinner and love and patience and endurance and immigrating and finding a way in this world and making finances work and loving her children and then dying, leaving a legacy of love and compassion. She has no worth because she wasn't educated, because she didn't invent anything. We fall into that, and especially for women, fall into the bamboozlement of the world around us. Like, if you're not educated and have a career and make money, you won't have any worth. What happened to the feminine genius that St. John Paul II talks about, that God has created women to be, and the beauty that women can add to the world, as much as they can do all these things and work? Nothing wrong with that. I'm not preaching against that. But how beautiful it is, we're neglecting the beauty of the nature of womanhood, which is love and nurturing and patience. Like, mothers, like, bring families together. They show love. They teach compassion. They teach patience. They teach the love that really the heart of a mother, the heart of a woman can only teach. Whether as a mother, or as an aunt, as a grandmother, as whomever. That's the kind of nurturing love. And that's not being glorified. Why? Because it has no worth. Someone says, oh, I'm a stay-at-home mom. That's the greatest gift of all time. That's a much harder job than any other job in the world. And it's not being given the praise that I think it should be. That's kind of my soapbox for the day. But what else does St. Paul says for that? Besides just an International Women's Day showing the utilitarianism of life, St. Paul continues, like, how do we live our lives if we are to be transformed, not just conformed to the world? And he gives a litany in Romans 12, and I'll just read a few of them. He says, as followers of Christ, this is how we should be living our lives. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with a brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Never flag in zeal, but aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. And he goes on and on and on. That's who we are. That if we are to be followers of Christ and followers of the resurrected Jesus, that needs to be our life. Not just what our worth is, what we bring to the world, but that we live in the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we stand under Niagara Falls and we're just consumed by the graces of God. And it's okay to just be with Jesus, because the conformity of our worth and our work can overflow into how we relate to God, that I have to earn God's love or work for God's love. You don't. It's a free gift given. What's the problem? The 350 quintillion gallons of salt water. We go back to the ocean and we take our cup of water and we sip the salt water of hate, of grudges, of gossip, of lust, of gluttony, of pride, of anger, of laziness. And we just keep sipping on it because there's a vast amount of it in the world around us. A lot more than there is the love of God. and we go back to it and we sip and we're not satisfied, and we go back to it and we sip and we're not satisfied, it won't satisfy. Only Jesus, only the God, only the Holy Spirit will satisfy our hearts. And that needs to be our own desire of our own hearts. How do we, who Christ himself calls himself the light of the world, calls himself, says, living water will gush forth from our hearts, how do we live in that light, that beauty, that truth? For all of us, we only have 2 weeks left of Lent. We have 2 weeks left of Lent, and then we have Holy Week. So in these next 2 weeks, ask yourself that question. What 350 quintillion gallons of salt water, what in your life needs to be rid of? Things that won't satisfy you, that you can only be satiated by the love of God in your life. Where is God trying to clean your heart, to clean your soul, get rid of it? I don't have to earn God's love. I need not be in fear or anxiety of the future, whether it's life or health or wealth or whatever it is. I have the light of God that dispels all fear, that dispels all anxiety. Where am I called to be more satisfied and to allow the love of God to satisfy my heart? To not find my worth in the world or my worth in the sin of the salt that does not satisfy, but to be at peace, knowing that I am loved, infinitely loved, 700,000 gallons a second loved by the God of the universe who wants to pour his love upon us, to satisfy our hearts, to bring us peace, to fulfill our ultimate desires for God. Amen.